Our New Testament reading this morning is from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Listen for the Gospel of the Lord. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling to you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. God, please help us to hear what you have to say to us and to see the truth in your word and how it may challenge us today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Bartimaeus is an interesting name, especially Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, because if you know anything about Aramaic, bar means son of. So you'll see Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. In the Greek, that would be Huios Tomeo Bartimaeus. Or son of Timaeus in Greek and son of Timaeus in Aramaic. They just called him the son of Timaeus, the son of Timaeus. Queso cheese. All right. As my college chemistry professor used to say, that won't be on the test. I just thought you might find it interesting. So first we want to look at, what did Bartimaeus do? We're going to take a closer look at this story and see what might be in it for us. Bartimaeus hears word of someone who can bring him shalom. Shalom is sort of wholeness, to set you right with the world or the world right with you. Keeping in mind that this talk about ability and disability, it's more about a world that's not accommodating to a person's disability. Bartimaeus, basically, his options are sit on the side of the road and beg. And that, as best I can tell, is the full range of possibilities for him. Or just be taken care of by a parent or something, maybe. It's hard to change the ancient world to make it accommodating to people who are blind. Our modern world, we are grateful that there are lots of ways that it has become more accommodating to people with difficulty seeing. So he hears of somebody who can bring him shalom. He calls out for Jesus, and he ignores those who try to silence him. I want to look next here at the reaction of the many to Bartimaeus crying out for him to be put in a right connection with the world. First, they ignore him. There's just, let's see. It doesn't say that they ignored him right away, but it's kind of in there, you know? Generally, this is what society will do with people with disabilities, is just sort of, or with basically anyone who's any kind of marginalized person will just say, "I don't want to think about the fact that you exist. I'll drop a couple coins in your bucket and just keep going." And then when he gets loud, it says, many sternly ordered him to be quiet. What do you think they said? Kind of makes you wonder. Like, maybe they ignore him because the fact that he's blind makes them uncomfortable. But what did they say? Maybe they were like, I just want to enjoy listening to Jesus without thinking about blind people, without thinking about Bartimaeus and his problems. Why does he have to make a scene? He should just maybe, there are ways that you should approach Jesus. Just get him to go quietly, find Jesus maybe late at night or something. But Jesus is on his way out of town. Maybe they would say, being blind in our society, it's not such a bad gig. You don't even have to get a job. Or maybe they're thinking, the system is working fine. You should be grateful that you live in a society that allows you to beg at the gate. Maybe they thought, what you really need, Bartimaeus, you don't need Jesus to heal you. What you really need is to just get a better attitude. Count your blessings. You're lucky to live in a land where blind people are cared for, and it's culturally appropriate for you to ask for alms, and it's highly looked upon to give charity. You should be grateful instead of interrupting Jesus' teachings and asking for something more. And they don't come around until literally Jesus Christ himself says, bring him here. What does Jesus do, though? What's Jesus' reaction? Oh, there it is. He notices Bartimaeus. He notices someone who needs help, who's been ignored and overlooked and invisible, and whose needs have been ignored, who's been asked to be quiet. Thank you. Please stop bothering us. We would just like to enjoy Jesus in peace. And he proactively asks what Bartimaeus wants. Jesus' question, what do you want me to do for you, is incredible. I've heard this story in a different, I've heard this question framed a different way. As Jesus asks the person, what do you want me to do for you, as sort of a, you have to want to get well, you know? I've seen it done that way, but it goes the other way too. It's, if you're helping somebody, you have to know what they want. Have to know what will be helpful for them. Like, how many times have you seen people who are like, okay, we're going to help you, and then the help that's provided is whatever happens to be convenient for the person providing the help? Jesus respects Bartimaeus's autonomy and his wishes. He doesn't know, or he doesn't assume that he knows what Bartimaeus needs. He doesn't say, oh, here, have some alms. Have some extra money. Let me bless your ability to receive alms so that tomorrow you'll take in double alms. He doesn't teach him or say, you know what? What you really need to do is get a job and stop begging. Nor does he just say, you have received your sight. That last one is interesting because having a disability is not necessarily a terrible thing. In the deaf community, for example, I only know about this because of Kristen. In the deaf community, there are people who will not get cochlear implants because deafness is a part of who they are. And there are some people who have been blind who said, if you gave me the opportunity to be seeing, I wouldn't want that. So Jesus, millennia ahead of his time, says, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? He asks. Now, I should observe that sometimes asking what somebody needs is a problem, especially when it's well documented what people need. Like if you see someone in a wheelchair and they're in need of assistance and there's just steps and no ramp, probably a good guess before you ask them what they need would be a wheelchair ramp. Something like that. The idea being, don't necessarily be obtuse about it. And third, he listens to what Bartimaeus says. And he takes action. What Jesus did is hard. It's even harder for Jesus, I have to say, because he's like, if we look at where this story is in the gospel, right before Bartimaeus, Jesus is asked by the sons of Zebedee, who is the greatest in the kingdom? They want to be great in the kingdom of God. And Jesus, right before that, says, the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served and to give his life a ransom for many. He predicted his own death. You know what happens right after Bartimaeus' story? The triumphal entry. Palm Sunday. The story of Bartimaeus is sandwiched right between Jesus prophesying his own death and the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday. They're on their way out of Jericho. They're going somewhere, and Bartimaeus sort of waylays Jesus, and Jesus stops. A bunch of people tell him that he needs to be quiet, Bartimaeus. But Jesus stops. What's Jesus' attitude here? He's not threatened by Bartimaeus saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. You could say, okay, if Bartimaeus is born blind, in the ancient world, a lot of times that would be a God made this person blind. One person asked Jesus, who sinned, about another blind man, who sinned, this person or their parents? That whose fault was it that this person was born blind? The other thing is, healing appears to physically drain Jesus. You notice that? Shows up various times throughout the Bible. Jesus heals people, and then he needs to go away. Or the woman who has blood pouring out touches Jesus, and Jesus says, who touched me? I felt power go out. But he's not threatened. And second, he takes responsibility for making it right. He doesn't say, it's not my problem. He doesn't say, I didn't cause this person to be blind. It's not my problem to fix. He just does it. So what does exclusion cost the people who do the excluding? What does it cost to be the many who say, just leave us alone, we're trying to enjoy Jesus here, would you please be quiet and stop asking for stuff? You should be grateful. Besides turning us into those people, exclusion causes us to miss out on opportunities for incredible things, for experiencing incredible people, or just regular good people. Your bulletin cover this morning, you may have been wondering who that is. That is Francis Crosby, also known as Fanny Crosby. Some of you may recognize the name. If you don't, we sang one of her songs this morning already. We'll be singing another one later. She wrote Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, I am thine, O Lord. Jesus, keep me near the cross, to God be the glory. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. And roughly about 8,000 other songs and poems. She was not the most prolific blind poet of all time. She was probably just straight up the most prolific poet of all time. Or at least prolific American poet, like 8,000? Funny story, during the Civil War, she wrote a sort of unionized version of Dixie. You know the song Dixie, the Southern song? She wrote a version of that for the Union guys to sing. It was just just fascinating. She wrote all of these wild songs, like 8,000 songs. She wasn't a beggar. She lived in a world that was a little more accommodating to blind people, and because of that, we experience her. She wrote, I think she got paid $2 or $3 a song, and she was writing 2 or 3 songs a day, and this was back in the 1800s. I don't know how much that is for inflation, but she was doing okay, I think. Speaking of what I said earlier about what do you want me to do for you, she said, if you asked me today if I wanted to see, I would say no. And she actually wrote a song that said she wanted to see Jesus first. She was said that that was exciting for her, that the first thing she would see, the first face would be Jesus' face. Now, a lot of times, we can take people like Fanny Crosby and do my wife Kristen has fondly refers to as disability porn, where you see someone who has a disability and does something incredible, and you're like, wow, that's so amazing that they did all of this when they were blind. And it's like, no, that's not the point. People with disabilities shouldn't have to be amazing or write 8,000 songs for us to go, we need to include them. We need to, include people with disabilities, even in this room. So Fanny Crosby isn't a them. She's not some other person who's off somewhere else being different. She's one of us. And can you imagine if we had said, oh, we don't sing songs by blind people? And aside, we need writers like Fanny Crosby so we don't descend into things like everything happens for a reason. Like, I don't think any of her songs are everything happens for a reason. So, where are we in this story? Going back to Bartimaeus. I think that's a great question. Where are we in this story? Sometimes we go to the Bible and it can be helpful to try to locate ourselves in the story. Are we Bartimaeus, excluded, but then brought in by the love and kindness of Jesus? Because Jesus has mercy on all of us when we call, so that we can have mercy on others. Are we the crowds who would rather not be annoyed? Are we the crowds who are asked first by Bartimaeus and then by Jesus to do something to set the world right so that it is workable for people with disabilities or others who are being excluded? Are we Jesus, people who are not, obviously we're not Jesus, but, you know, for the story, for the purpose of the story, are we Jesus who is being asked to listen and able to do something? I think first, most of us are Bartimaeus, excluded, but then brought in by the love and kindness of Jesus so that we can be secure in Jesus' love and then bring others in. Let's pray. God, in your mercy, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Help us to learn from Bartimaeus to pray the prayer that he taught us. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And to get better at not excluding people and at bringing them in so that we can experience all the gifts and good things that you have given them to give to us. Because they are part of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.